This past weekend, a new exhibit opened at the Bishop Museum. It's Rapa Nui, Past, Present, and Future. Some know the place as Easter Island, home to giant stone statues, the Moai. Rapa Nui has a special place in Mara Maruni's heart, as that's where she spent time doing fieldwork in archaeology. Now she's head of Bishop Museum's cultural collection. She joined us in the studio to talk about what's in store.
So I've been working on Rapa Nui for, 17 years now, if you can believe that, in archaeology, working very closely with local collaborators there. We've been doing all kinds of different studies, both on Rapa Nui and at Bishop Museum, on some of the collections that are cared for by us at the museum. So my own expertise is in landscape archaeology, and what that means is that I spend a lot of time wandering, in a systematic way, of course, around the landscape, thinking about how people interacted with each other and with the world around them. And so one of the studies that I was involved in was a very large study, island-wide survey of agriculture. And on Rapa Nui, they were very innovative in their approach to agriculture. So just like here in Hawaii, where we had slash-and-burn agriculture as Polynesians arrived, they brought with them all of their canoe plants, especially those very important starches like kalo and uala. Same thing on Rapa Nui, but on Rapa Nui, it's a very different landscape. It's actually a subtropical island located at 27 degrees latitude. And what they did there is they started with slash-and-burn agriculture, and then through time, they intensified their approach. In doing that, they built rock gardens.
Rock gardens.
Rock gardens.
Explain that.
Okay, so what people did is these are all rain-fed systems. So on Rapa Nui, we don't have permanent streams, so we don't have, you know, things like lo'i and that wetland agriculture. What we have is dryland agriculture. What people did is they moved rocks around on the landscape, and they placed them on the landscape, and sometimes they tilled those rocks into the soil. In doing that, it served a variety of functions, the construction of these rock gardens, right? It's a form of what we call intensification, that is, putting a lot of effort into a given area of land so that you increase production. So what people would do is place the rocks on the surface, so we have distributions of rocks, and they would protect the plants from winds. So you'd plant your kalo right next to those rocks, right? So you have a nice little puka, right, where it's protected. It also helps to absorb the rainwater and to conserve that water, right? So you have high winds, sort of a cooler environment, and so all of the water is permeating into the soils.
Wow, that's genius.
Yeah, but what's also happening, and this is the part that is just phenomenal, is that those rocks are actually leaching nutrients, right?
Oh.
So the rain falls, it hits the rocks, nutrients are coming out of those basalt rocks, and they're introducing elements like phosphorus to the soils, and that's making them more productive. So what's interesting is that you've often heard the story of Rapa Nui, right? That they cut down all their trees, lost sight of what they were doing, and, quote, self-destructed. Well, by cutting down all of those trees and intensifying their agriculture through the construction of these rock gardens, they actually made the environment more productive. So it takes that story of cultural collapse, of ecological collapse, and it really turns it on its head.
So you must have just loved working on this exhibit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we've been working on developing the exhibit for about the past year and a half or so, working very closely with colleagues on Rapa Nui. And we're really excited because we're also welcoming an exhibit that centers on contemporary arts from Rapa Nui. It's called Ka'u'i, which means to take a deeper look. Right, to look at something more deeply. And it features the works of 8 contemporary artists from Rapa Nui. The wonderful thing is that, you know, technology is such that I can be in very close contact with collaborators on the island. So I've been working with people from around the world, really amassing photographs from the island and, of course, writing all of the scripts and designing the exhibit with our exhibits and production team as well.
And so you folks had to reach deep into the morgue to pull out a number of things to spotlight, because you do have a very deep collection of stuff from Rapa Nui.
Yeah, so we actually have multiple collections from Rapa Nui. Within our ethnology department, we have 815 ta'oa, or cultural treasures, of which we selected over 150 to put on display as part of this exhibit. We've also been working on a large project to document those collections. So we've been photographing them and doing research on them and so on and so forth. Now, in addition to cultural treasures, we have extensive archives from Rapa Nui, especially a lot of photos, which we've also been working on digitizing to improve access. So we've actually just transferred all of the digital files to the local museum on Rapa Nui. And we've been working very closely with them to develop a sister exhibit as well.
Oh, that's fascinating. So really, in addition to kind of bringing this stuff out for display, you're updating it and creating more of a reach to the community around the world, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're also bringing out some natural sciences collections as well. We have a very large collection of specimens in our ichthyology collections.
Where do you keep all this stuff?
Everything's kept on campus at Bishop Museum. We have a number of storage areas where we keep our collections.
That just seems like so crazy to have, you know, that number of fish and all the cultural artifacts.
Yeah. So with the fish, fantastic story there. Jack Randall, who's our resident ichthyologist, he's now retired but still comes in on occasion to do research. He started working on Rapa Nui in 1969. And he worked very closely with local collaborators, and he described many new species from Rapa Nui. So we've brought out 16 specimens that will be on display, and alongside those specimens, we'll have an interactive component so that visitors can learn a little bit more about them.
And so what makes, I guess, the fish over there so different than what we've got here?
So a lot of them are the same, actually. So we have a lot of the same species, so species that have a very long range. And there's also a lot of endemic species there. So it's second only to Hawaii. Currently about 21% of the fish that have been described from Rapa Nui in Rapa Nui waters are endemic. But that number is growing. And that number is growing because of new research that's being conducted by Dr. Richard Pyle from the Bishop Museum, as well as his colleagues from around the world. They actually have a rebreather technology, which allows them to dive much deeper. And so, of course, they've been discovering new species, and they think that they've identified, based on some submarine footage, but they need to go and actually collect a couple of specimens, they think they've identified some sister species that are found in Papahanao Mokuakea.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Wow, so it really does... you're just learning stuff all the time. It's not just a matter of dusting off some, you know, old artifacts and pulling them out, you know, for display.
No, these collections are very active. They are accessed by cultural practitioners, by artists, by researchers from around the world on a daily basis. So they're very much alive.
Now, because you've studied Rapa Nui, was there anything that surprised you in putting this all together?
I mean, everything's full of surprises. Life is full of surprises, right? Overall, I learned a lot because I'm an archaeologist. So, you know, I have my little area of expertise or knowledge. But just learning about the fish, for example, was a fantastic experience. And, of course, working with people from various agencies, working with the folks at NOAA here in Hawaii, you know, updating our map of marine protected areas, one of which was just established on Rapa Nui last year. So, you know, in putting that into a global context, just sort of opening your eyes to that global context and learning a little bit more.
And now, what about is it the Moai?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading stories about climate change and the threats to cultural artifacts. Mm-hmm. So what can you share about that?
Yeah, I mean, on Rapa Nui, just as here in Hawaii, they are experiencing the effects of climate change, of course. It's a volcanic island. It's low-lying, but still a volcanic island, so a high island when we compare it to coral atolls, for example. So we do have some coastal inundation happening there. It is affecting the very large ahu, or ceremonial platforms, atop which the moai were erected. And so that is, of course, a challenge that the Rapa Nui community is facing. Another big one is marine debris. Because of Rapa Nui's location within the southern sort of circulation cell, right, in terms of the currents, a lot of marine debris is arriving to the island. And actually, there'll be a documentary that's going to debut at the Hawaii International Film Festival that's called Eating Up Easter. and it centers on the theme of sustainability and follows a few Rapa Nui people who are really being proactive about how they're dealing with these challenges of things like waste, right, and recycling in an island environment, you know, keeping in mind that Rapa Nui, it's actually smaller than the island of Niihau.
Wow.
So a very small island, you know, huge impacts of visitors to the island. They're up to about 120,000 visitors per year, right? So at any given time, there are more visitors than there are residents on the island. There's a population of about 8,000 people who call Rapa Nui home.
Wow, so that's really amazing. I mean, the snapshot. So you folks are kind of coming at it at all different angles.
All different angles, yeah, really. So the exhibit does span, you know, past, present, and future throughout, which I think is quite wonderful. You know, it's not sort of focused on the past, although, of course, we explore the Moai and the wonderful cultural heritage of Rapa Nui, but also the living culture, right, and the future of that island.
That was Bishop Museum's Mara Mulroney, curator of the exhibit Rapa Nui, Untold Stories of Easter Island, currently on display through May of next year. And there's an added bonus if you go and see that documentary that she mentioned. Hang on to your Eating Up Easter stub and receive discounted admission to the museum.